You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Sometimes there are fights in Washington that can seem just plain confusing from the outside, like the current brawl over the Export-Import Bank. You may not even know about this federal agency. People call it the Ex-Im Bank, but its charter expires in September. Many conservative Republicans would like to kill it entirely, but some other folks in the GOP, joined by Democrats and a lot of business types, want to keep the Ex-Im Bank around. Whatever happens means a lot for American businesses. To explain what Ex-Im does and put it in context, we took a little field trip.
Right. Well, maybe the other, you want to try the other office?
It's not every day that you find yourself on the 16th floor of a 27-story office building in Manhattan's Garment District with an 85-year-old man critiquing your outfit.
What is this pants fabric?
It is a stretch synthetic. Probably Lycra. Okay?
And what about my shirt?
I don't know where you got it. Lord and Taylor?
Yeah, I got it on the internet.
Yeah, right. It's a different world. I knew exactly what you were wearing.
Really?
Yes. Well, I've been around for a few weeks.
Actually, Irving Marx has been in textiles for a while.
1954 is how many years? It's 46, almost 60 years I've been doing it. There isn't a fabric in the world that I'm not familiar with.
Marx sells fabrics, wholesale.
So when someone comes to me and says to me they're looking for a pants, polycotton, twill, we have to know exactly what you're talking about.
But we're not talking to Marx because of polycotton twill. We came to talk about the Export-Import Bank because Marx benefited from about $800,000 from the Ex-Im Bank during a 10-year stretch, according to the bank. And it's important to note that's not money Marx received. The bank does business by making loans, credit insurance, or loan guarantees to customers who buy from American exporters, like Irving Marx.
And explain to me how that worked.
They came to me offering me a deal where they would guarantee my export sales. I would have to submit to them the invoice. They would give me an approval to ship, and I would ship.
Basically, in terms of the business model,
it was a good idea. It encouraged me.
They were guaranteeing your sales.
And that was a good idea for me and a good idea for many others because there was no way people of my size, which was comparatively small, could ship all over the world without the knowledge that we would get paid.
What was the difference, do you think, when you had that guarantee and when you didn't?
Well, when we had the guarantee, it made us fearless. We took orders from people we don't really know, who didn't speak even English. In most cases, we were paid, and if we were not paid, we knew Ex-Im Bank would pay the bill.
Do you have a sense of how much money it made you?
Well, we worked basically on a 10 to 15% markup, so if I did $1 million, it would be $150,000 gross.
And how about now, without it?
We do without it. We don't sell. It has cut back on my sales. There's no question about it. I could do triple my business tomorrow if I had Ex-Im Bank in place.
Mark says he had a big billing dispute with Ex-Im a few years back, and since then he can't get loans from them. That idea of having access to Ex-Im, then not, brings us back to the big debate in Congress. Supporters of Ex-Im say small businesses would suffer, as Marx has, if Ex-Im went away. But supporters of reform or doing away with the bank entirely say Ex-Im is just a form of corporate welfare.
Unfortunately, you know, facts, as is often the case in the political arena, get thrown around, and there's a bit of truth on all sides.
That's Jan Boyer. He's an entrepreneur who specializes in emerging markets, and he was also a senior advisor to President George W. Bush. And Boyer says while a lot of little loans benefit small businesses, there are a few huge loans that aid big companies.
Those that are in favor of what the Ex-Im Bank is doing point out that 90% of their loans go to small companies. But if one sort of looks at it from a different point of view and says, well, of the percentage of total dollars that get deployed, how much are going to big companies? The facts are that 60% of their money goes to 10 very big companies.
We've seen a big decline in what America makes and exports abroad. Now, some of that has changed recently, but it's a lot cheaper to make stuff overseas than it is to do it here. Do you think Ex-Im has made a difference in helping U.S. exports?
You know, the short answer is yes, but it's a qualified yes. What I think is most important to focus on is could I make that additional sale? in another country without that financing. And I'll give you sort of an extreme example. You know, if we're talking selling something in Mexico, one could think and imagine that, you know, if you're a businessman in Oregon and you had a business that's, you know, growing and being successful, you wanted to finance some sales to Mexico, your local banker you could talk to, you could persuade that this is a smart business decision and could you please support me? Now, if instead there was an opportunity for that same company in Oregon to sell in Afghanistan, to sell in Pakistan, to sell in Indonesia, probably the conversation between that entrepreneur and his local banker would not be very successful.
So EXIM is helpful in getting U.S. products into riskier markets?
Yes. Certain companies, I would argue, it's the difference between them doing it and not doing it. But in the case of other companies, many other companies, it's really, it's not a question of being helpful or making the difference. It's a question of making it cheaper to them. And therefore, there's some truth also in the fact that EXIM is not necessary for certain companies or is not the differentiating factor. But in the case of other companies, absolutely it is.
Jan Boyer, thank you so much for talking with me.
It is my pleasure, Lizzie. Thanks for having me.